Thank you to Rabbi Seidman for leading us in such beautiful recitation of Tehillim. To all of the special individuals who coordinated this beautiful effort to bring our community get together in these difficult times. We are a people of contradictions. On one hand, we are so small in number and yet so incredible in influence. We can fight with each other like no one else, but yet the achdus, the unity, the love that Klal Yisrael has for one another is unparalleled amongst the nations. But more than that, we are a people of contradictions, we are a people who constantly seek out meaning. We seek out meaning in times of bracha, in times of blessing, and we seek out meanings in times of challenge and times of difficulty. As David HaMelech said, Keili, keili, lama azavtani. David HaMelech had an exceptionally hard life. Challenges in every sphere, in every part of life. And David HaMelech himself reached a point in life where he simply asked, looking heavenward, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just tell me why. Just explain to me why. What is it that's going on? And if you can help shed a little bit of light, a little bit of understanding on my circumstances, even if they don't change, the explanation, the insight, the understanding will give me a bit of nechama. But the Sfarim explain that it can't be that David HaMelech was asking, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. It can't be that he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu why. Because why is the oldest question. Already again, Moshe Rabbeinu was asking why. Lama Hari Osala Amaza. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And we know already that there's a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for everything. And everything is Latova. Everything is for good. But more often than not, we don't understand or comprehend the divine plan. So if David HaMelech wasn't asking, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you leave me? The Sfarim explained David HaMelech was really asking, Keili, Keili, Lema Azavtani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want me to get from these circumstances? I know I'm not going to get the why. I know I'm not going to understand your cheshbonas, your calculations, for they defy the constructs of human understanding. But if I'm not going to understand the why, I'm at least going to focus on the what. What should I do with these circumstances? What should I do with my realities? How do I transcend them? How do I grow from them? How do I make sure that they don't break me and demolish me? How do I make sure that not only do I remain standing, but I emerge even stronger? And that's the question we ask ourselves. Keili, keili, lema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has visited circumstances upon our world, upon the world. The latest news is not the state in the United States that's unaffected by the coronavirus. And globally, the ramifications are significant and sad and heartbreaking. And so in Asifa gathering like this, we ask ourselves the question that we've been asking ourselves for a while. It's just become a bit more pronounced over the last few days. Lima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want me to do with these circumstances? How am I supposed to handle them? How should I maximize them? And what should I do with them? Our shuls are closed. Our schools are closed. There's a spiritual stillness in our community. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is described as the kol demama daka. The Ribono Shel Olam comes, he reveals himself in a whisper. But that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our existence is marked by ra'ash. Our existence is marked by noise, by the noise of communal prayer, by the noise of communal Talmud Torah. And yet all of that, at least in the centers that we have always known, are silenced. There's a heaviness that one could feel in the air. Yet at the same time, the words of the great tzaddik Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, of Ein Shum Yeyush Klal Ba'olam, or Ein Yeyush Ba'olam Klal. There's no Yeyush. We never give in to despair. We never give up. no matter how challenging circumstances may be, and no matter how overwhelming things may look, ein shum yeyush ba'olam klal. The Jew never falls into the clutches of despair, never falls into the clutches of sadness, never allows the darkness to overwhelm. But instead, as one is tempted to fall into the clutches of yeyush, one says, Keli, Keli, Lima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me what I should do. Help me figure out what I should do with these new circumstances. So what should we do? What is our communal approach? What is our individual approach? So the simple answer is, I don't know. And the simple answer is, it's not my place what to tell everyone to do or how they should be handling things. But instead tonight, I'll share with you my own personal reflections, my own feelings. Tonight, I give you a window into my heart and into my soul that on one hand is broken in a million pieces because my beloved shul is currently shuttered and is broken in a million pieces because my beautiful Beis Medrash is currently dormant. It's found new life online, but it's not the same. So tonight I share with you my lima. Tonight I share with you my insights, my thoughts for me. And if it applies to you, then wonderful. And if you have different suggestions, I invite you to please reach out to me. There's an incredible pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. We know that the story of creation doesn't go all that well. And within just a couple of generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to start over, and he approaches Noach and he tells Noach, you're going to be the new father of humanity. And he says to Noach, Vayomer Hashem leNoach, bo ata v'chol beischo el hateva. Noach, I want you, v'chol beischo, and your family to come into the teva, the ark. You're familiar with the ark that Noach built to sustain or to weather the floodwaters. And the Sfarim once again point out something amazing. That the word teva, if you spell it out male, meaning if you spell it the way that it sounds, which is tough, yud, beis, hey, are the same letters of habayis, the same letters of the home. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explains something so incredibly beautiful. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving a message not just to Noach, but was giving a message to Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Noach, the world is about to get really crazy around you. And so what you need to do when the world gets crazy around you is bo'ata v'chol beischa el hateva. When the world gets crazy, you have to bring everything into the bias. You have to bring everything into the teva. You have to take all the things that were happening in the different spheres of your life, the different things that were happening in the shul, the different things that were happening in the yeshivas, the different things that were happening in the day schools, the different things that were happening in the batei medrash. Bo'ata v'chol beischa el hateva. Hateva habayis. Bring everything. Gather it all up. Gather whatever is important to you and bring it into your teva. Bring it into your bayis. Bring it into your home. So what do you do when you bring everything into your home? And what does it mean to bring everything into your home? So here the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh continues. And he says, and I quote to you, Bo'ata v'chol beischa la teva, teva mashma'a gam mila. The word teva doesn't just translate as ark. The word teva also translates as a word. Teva means a letter or a word. So says the Baal Shem Tov so beautifully, that sometimes when the world as you know it is no longer the world that is accessible to you, when the things that used to be the spiritual creature comforts in the greater world are no longer open to you, bo elateva, invest the totality of yourself into the letters, into the words. The Baal Shem Tov explains, Zeremez, Sheha Adam Tzarech Lihikanes Lechol Teva Mitevos HaTorah Vatfilos Bechol Kochosav. The Baal Shem Tov says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Noach a two-pronged message. Number one, when the world gets crazy, Bo'ata V'chol Beischa El HaTeva, go into HaTeva, HaBayis, bring everything into the home. But when you bring everything into the home, you have to invest additional energies.
Bo'ata b'chol bischa ela teva. Invest yourself. Invest the totality of yourself into every word that you daven, into every word that you learn. Invest the totality of yourself into all of the dynamic spiritual activity that has now moved into the home. And the Baal Shem Tov continues even more. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says by the Teva, Sohar Ta'asela Teva. You see, when you bring all of the letters, when you bring all of the words of your Torah and of your Tefillah into your home, it's not just enough to read through them, but Sohar Ta'asela Teva. The Tzara was the window in the ark. It was the source of illumination. And when you have to bring everything from your life into the teva, into the bias, so harta sela teva, we must redouble our efforts to invest spiritual luminescence into our davening and into our learning, to take the time to really appreciate the beauty of the siddur, to take the time to really appreciate the beauty of our tfilos. That's when we open up a Gemara, open up a Chumash, whatever is your safer of choosing, to relish the words. Tzohar tasela teva, to infuse a spiritual luminescence. You know, my friends, for the last few days, not a few days, for the last little while, for the last day and a half, I've been davening with a Zoom minion. As Chatani Maskir, I did not know what Zoom was before Sunday evening. But I've discovered the milos of Zoom. And so we have a shir and a morning shir on Zoom. And then afterwards we do the best that we can with our virtual minion of Zoom. And I will tell you that not a tefillah goes by that I have to hold back tears. And I'm not usually such an emotional person. I wish I cried at every shachris, and I wish I cried at every mincha, and I wish I cried at every ma'arif. But that's not normally my normal daily davening. But there's something that I can't stop crying every single time I dive in with this Zoom minion. And on one hand, my heart is broken because I can't believe that this is happening. I can't actually believe that this is the reality. It feels surreal. It feels like it's a dream. It feels like we're just going to wake up tomorrow morning and the fog is going to be lifted and everything will just go back to normal. So I cry in disbelief. I cry in disbelief. But then I also cry tears of joy. Because on the screen with me are over 100 people for Daf Yomi at 5:45 in the morning. And almost close to that amount for Shachris, and then Mincha, and then Ma'ariv. And I will tell you on a personal level, my tefillos over the last day and a half, I'm embarrassed to say this, have been filled with more kavana than ever before. And it's not because the sky is falling and I feel, oh my gosh, we have to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we have to. We always reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's more than that, because I realized that for the first time, and again, I'm embarrassed to say it, I'm paying attention to davening. I'm saying Kriya Shema, every word with kavana, and my brachas, every word with such a feeling of meaning. And when we get to Baruch Hu and we can't say Baruch Hu, my heart breaks. And when we each and finish Shmona Esrei and I wait, all I want to hear is a Chazaras HaShatz. That same Chazaras HaShatz that I had Sunday morning and didn't pay all that much attention to. Now, what I wouldn't give for it. What I wouldn't give for it. And this is my journey. The Tzohar Ta'asela Teva. I should have appreciated Tefillah a bit more when I was davening in Shul. And I should have appreciated Tefillah B'Tzibur a bit more when I always took it for granted. I no longer take it for granted. And the Kabbalah I have made is that the feeling I have davening now is the feeling I'm going to take with me, Emir Tzashem, for as many years as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me in this world. As we begin to bring everything into the table, we begin to bring everything into the bias. Tzohar Ta'aseh Lateva. Our words must become luminescent. Our words must become alive. It can no longer just be something we do by rote, but we have to begin to daven with hislavos, with a passion, with a meaning, with a care, and with a concern. And I feel embarrassed to say that I only feel the urgency of this now that I don't have what I've taken for granted for so long. But this is the personal lima I'm taking for myself. We have the privilege to have a daf yomi shir, as I mentioned before. Every morning, we start at 5:45 with Mesilas Yesharim, and then daf yomi and Baruch Hashem, close to 100 people online. And this morning after the shir, one of the chevra sent me a voice note, and he said that he had an incredible ha'ara that brought him to tears. He said, you know, he's been living in his house for a couple of years, and he realized that yesterday morning was the first time we had our virtual shir. Was the first time he ever sat for a full hour in his house learning. Learned a little bit here, learned a little bit, and this is a person who learns. Learns in the Beis Medrash, learns in the shul. But the first time he ever did serious learning in his home. And my dear friends, there is no Jewish home without Torah being learned inside of its walls. The Kol Torah doesn't just belong in the Shul and the Beis Medrash. The Kol Torah belongs in our bias. So now, through circumstances beyond our control, the Kol Torah has once again been pushed back into the bias. And here is a golden opportunity. Because how many of us have children who know we learn, but maybe don't see us learn? How many of us have children that maybe never heard the sweet niggun of Gemara or the sweet niggun of Shtayim Mikra? How many of us have children who have never seen the smile that comes across our face when we see something that we've never known before? These days offer us an opportunity to go and learn within our homes. And I would say this is not just for the men. This is for the women as well. It's an unprecedented time, at least in my lifetime, when all of us are spending a lot of time at home. And if we're all in the teva, and if we're all in the bias, then we all have the obligation of tzohar tasela teva, to infuse meaning into our learning, to infuse meaning into our tefillah, and to make those words come alive, to stop just speaking them, and to allow them to dance from our mouth, to allow them to dance off the pages of our Siddurim and off the pages of our Svarim. Tzohar tasela teva. We have an obligation during these times to strengthen our relationship with our children. Schools are out, children are home, and I know that for many parents, it creates a little bit of a sense of panic. What are we going to do with the kids? And then not a day goes by that I don't get emails about resources, about this, and it's beautiful. Yes, we have to keep our children entertained, and the schools are doing a great job in continuing the curriculum and the learning. My dear friends, if you're privileged to have children at home, many times, many of us are too busy to spend quality time. Everyone has a bit more time for quality time now. Choose something, a learning project, that you are going to do with your children. Maybe you choose a Haggadah that you're going to learn together in preparation for the Seder, because Pesach, we know, is most probably going to look different this year. Maybe you want to learn the Parsha. Maybe you want to learn Pirkei Avos. Maybe you want to choose a Masechta that you're going to try to be Mesayim as part of your Sudas Hoda'ah when all of this craziness is over. But choose a learning project with your child, whether that's a parent with a child, whether it's the entire Mishpacha together. Take this opportunity when everybody's in the teva, everybody's in the bias, to reignite the meaning behind your relationship with your children. Ask them for divrei Torah at the meals. We made a new law in the Silber home, a new law. And the new law is that there must be a divrei Torah from one of the children at every single meal. I'm not going to lie, it's not the most popular law that we've legislated in the house. But Baruch Hashem, it's being adhered to. When you have a home and everybody's eating meals together and everybody's spending time together, that children should take achrayus for their own spiritual growth as well. It's not just about what the school's going to give them. It's not just about what the parents are going to give them. But it's an opportunity to make our children, balei achrayus, responsible for their spiritual growth as well. Bring a Dvar Torah to the table. So make a learning project with your child, but also allow your child to take some level of responsibility for building his or her own spirituality and contributing to the ruchnius, to the holiness, to the spiritual luminescence of the bayis of the teva. But most of all, when it comes to our children, our job as parents is to make them feel safe. To make them feel safe. Because depending on what modes of information you allow into your home, we're bombarded with messages of doom and gloom. And we know, because we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. He's going to be by our side every step of the way. And we have to reinforce that amunah and that positivity in our children. The pasuk goes on, and the pasuk says, Bo'ata v'chol beischa el ateva. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, not just Noach, you go into the ark, you go into the table, you go into the bayis. But bo'ata v'chol beischa. You have to go, and you have to bring your entire household with you. Or in other words, that when the Jew enters his teva, when the Jew enters his bayis, he doesn't just enter by himself. He takes all of Klal Yisrael with him. You can't enter into your bayis, into your teva, and close the door behind you and say, as long as I'm okay, everything is okay. Bo'ata v'chol beischa el ateva. You have to bring Klal Yisrael with you in your heart, into your teva as well. And that's why during these times, sometimes there is a proclivity to become self-centered and just focused on ourselves. We're worried about stocking up our pantries. We're worried about our Pesach food. We're worrying about having provisions for who knows what. And you have to take, of course, the proper precautions and engage in the proper hishtadlus, of course. But we must be simultaneously thinking every single day about the other. Avas Yisrael is about to launch a campaign to raise necessary funds in our community. And my dear fellow members of the community, I urge you, I ask you, that in these times, we must find a way to focus our tzedakah to the needs of our community. Because tzarchei ameinu merubim. It's always amcha merubim. But the needs of our community are going to become acute as well. And our community has such incredible balei tzedakah. And of course, we might have obligations outside of the community also. But I ask you that when Avas Yisrael comes figuratively knocking on your door, please answer the call and answer it generously. Because it's bo'ata v'chol beischa el ateva. Might just be you and your family physically in your bayis, in your teva. But all of Klal Yisrael has to be in your heart as you enter into your bayis teva. There are going to be opportunities for volunteering, community initiatives that are going to be unveiled in the next day or so. I would urge you, if you have the time and you have the ability and you are in the proper health and the proper age brackets, to be able to go out and help, please do so. This is a time where as much as each of us is hunkering down in our own bayis, in our own teva, we must be ever cognizant and vigilant of the needs of the other as well. But there's one more piece. You know, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Gidol L'Tshuva Shemevia Refua Li'Olam. The Gemara says, tshuva is great because tshuva brings healing to the world. Tshuva brings healing to the world. And see, you know, a lot of times when we think about tshuva, the tshuva we often have in mind is ashamnu, bagamnu, gazamnu, al-chei tshechatanu lefanecha. We often think about tshuva as the return from sin. But Rav Avraham Yitzchok HaKohen Kok explains so beautifully in Oras HaTshuva. He says the purest form of tshuva is a return to the self, is when a person takes the time to introspect, and when a person takes the time to look at themselves in the mirror and asks themselves, am I truly the person I want to be? Am I living the life I want to lead? Have I self-actualized in the way that I know I'm capable of doing? Have I lived up to my potential? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu proud of what I'm doing and what I'm not? And so many times in life, we never bother to ask ourselves this question for one simple reason. We never do personalistic tshuva. We never return to ourselves because we're so caught up in the daily rhythm of life. Go here, go there, do this, do that. Oh, my dear friends, the rhythm has been broken. The rhythm has been demolished. The rhythm's been decimated. The rhythm we knew just a few days ago is no longer the rhythm of the present. But this gives us an incredible opportunity. Because when the rhythm, when the regilus of life comes to a screeching halt, it gives us the opportunity to take a step back, to look at our lives, to introspect, to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and to really ask ourselves, who do we want to be when we grow up? What do we want to be when we grow up? What do we want to look like at the end of this challenging period? What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to change? What do I want to enhance? What do I want to improve? And what do I want to stop doing altogether? Gidola tshuva shemevia refuah liolam. Tshuva is great because it brings healing to the world. You know, if we had the opportunity to produce a vaccine for this coronavirus now, I'm sure any of us would do anything and everything. So maybe some people who are online with this have the knowledge and the yicholas to be able to do so. Most of us regular people are not going to be so involved in the vaccine production. But there's a different vaccine that we could create. There's a different refuah that we could create. And that's the refuah of tshuva. If we use this time to look inward, to introspect, and use this craziness, this bahala, as a platform and catalyst for growth, then we can do our part in bringing refuah to this world. And I want to conclude with one last piece. I always find that the amazing part of the daf, of Daf Yomi, is that the Gemara is always tied into the times. So I want to share with you a Gemara that is on Amud Beis of tomorrow's daf. The Gemara speaks about the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, of going to visit the sick. And the Gemara discusses the idea that when Rabbi Elazar, we used to go ahead and visit the sick, so sometimes he would go ahead and greet people in Hebrew and sometimes in Aramaic. So the Gemara said, how could he go ahead and greet them in Aramaic? After all, the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara says, "Ein malachi asharis nizkakin lo." The angels, the ministering angels, they don't speak Aramaic. Leaving whatever that means aside. And if the ministering angels don't speak Aramaic, then they can't help lobby your request. So why would he go ahead and speak to the Cholim? Why would he daven? Why would he converse with the Cholim in Aramaic? And so the Gemara says something amazing. Shiny chola de shchina imo. A sick person is different because the shchina, the divine presence, rests with the sick. And the Gemara goes on and says, "Hanichnas levaker asachola lo yeshev lo agabe mita velo agabe kisei." When you go ahead and you go do Bikur Cholim, you visit someone who is ill. A person should not sit on the bed with the person who is ill. A person should not sit on the chair. Ela misatif v'yoshev lefanav. A person should wrap himself in his cloak, sit in front of the chola, sit there in deference and respect, but not deference and respect to the chola, rather. Because the Shechina, the divine presence itself, resides at the head of the Chola. And so, my dear friends, what this tells us is that wherever there is illness and whenever there is sickness, there is the greatest manifestation of the divine presence. Wherever there is Choli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence could be felt most acutely, which tells us that we have a most incredible opportunity. Because Rachmana Litzlan, there is illness and there is sickness all around us. Baruch Hashem, not in our community, not in our immediate community, but we're not just members of this community, we're members of the community of mankind. And there is illness and there is sickness and there's devastation that's happening. But if that's occurring, that means the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo, is here as well. And not only is he here, but he's making himself more present and more available than ever before. May we be zocha to take advantage of this enhanced hasrash ashrina, this enhanced manifestation of the divine. May we be zocha during these days, as we enter into the teva, as we enter into the bayis, to illuminate every word of Torah and every word of tefillah. May we be zocha, Mirat Hashem, to bond with our loved ones and inspire our children. May we be zocha, Mirat Hashem, that although it may only be our family that enters in the physical house with us after we close the door, that we bring all of Klal Yisrael with us in our hearts. May we be zocha that we use these days for true introspection and personal aliyah and growth. And if we do all of these things, then we will be zocha to take full advantage of the presence of the Shechina that resides within our midst, and in the merit of infusing maximum light into our teva, into our bias, into our souls, into our hearts, and into our world. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the refuah to kol cholei Yisrael and all the cholim of mankind. May we be zocha Mirtz Hashem to see a global refuah, a global Yeshua, and may this entire experience bring us one step closer to the coming of Mashiach M'hera B'Yameinu. Amen.